Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh boy, last night I had a craving for the crunchies and the sweetness, so you know what I did. No, I didn't eat trashy, junky cereal. Nice try. I ate Magic Spoon. It's got that good, sweet, crunchy texture you love, but it's healthy. They have innovated and changed the game with sugary cereals. They got the crunchy texture down, and you add the oat milk or the milk, whatever you're doing at the time, and it just, it scratches that itch. Look, it's 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's low-carb, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and only 140 calories a serving. Build your own box with a huge variety of appealing flavors. They got the classics, cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, the cult faves, blueberry muffin, maple waffle, what, and honey nut, maple waffle being my favorite, hence that, and the indulgent ones, cookies and cream and cinnamon roll. Yum, yum, yum. Now, I haven't had breakfast in a long time. I'm really just a coffee for breakfast kind of guy, but as for a fourth meal or a third meal after midnight, I gotta recommend some that Magic Spoon. So go to magicspoon.com/ham to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code HAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code HAM to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 299 pounds, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me, abortion is healthcare. That's Jackson Maine. He's woke AF. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Also joining me, the number one fuckboy in the High Mighty Studios, it's Will Weldon.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Will Weldon here, 5'9", 155 pounds.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Literally half my weight.
Awesome. Yeah, not a big guy. I'm a little guy.
I am a big guy. According to every bouncer at every bar I go to, I am a big guy or a big man.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. You got ID there, big guy?
Yeah. Kind of they're the only people that I like allow that from. Because it doesn't sound facetious coming from a bouncer. It sounds like respect. But when even when a smaller person's like, hey, big man. And it's like, hey, fuck you, man. Yeah. It's like, and I don't know why.
Yeah. It's like when somebody calls you boss. And like, especially if they're meant to be like lower status than you, it's like, hey, that's not necessary.
Come on. I forgot who I literally was just having this conversation with someone. It was like, boss is like classically someone you hate.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, boss. Yeah. It's like, as in, fuck you. I don't want to work for you anymore. Fuck you. Pay me.
Yeah. The other day I was thinking, Paulie. I was like, you know, boss. I was like, oh, it's funny. Boss is like a it's like a racial slur, but for anybody. And then I was like, that's just an insult, Will. You come up with a new, more complicated category for
it. Wow, it's a racial slur that would offend someone no matter what their race is. It's
Good one, man.
Will, when I emailed you about doing the pod, and I was like, oh, throw out some ideas and some topics. One of your topics was making friends. And I want to just kick this off with an initial meta conversation.
Yeah.
I think you, like, there was a brief moment when you chose as a topic. I was like, are you calling me out in some way? You know, like, because not in a bad way, but where I was like, I'm literally doing how I I guess the way I would make friends now at 40 is like, hey, we've previously met on a different podcast and I find you interesting, funny, and smart. Would you like to come on my podcast and talk to it feels like the comedy way of becoming friends.
Yeah. This is the thing. And it's like, for me, it's like, even it's way worse with men. I have like a lot of like weird issues with men. A lot of my issues I do like facetiously refer to as like chick shit. But like, it was like, and I even had a thing too, where after we did the like multiple stream of blood episodes, streams of blood, that's probably,
yeah,
right.
Shout out the Glass funeral. Cannon network or something. Yes.
Yeah. It was like, I was like, god, that was so fun. I was like, I wonder if Gabrus would ever want to like hang out. And then enough time went by where I was like, it's too late.
I was like, Will seems like the, I was like, you should like, I felt like my own mom. I was like, you should ask Will if he does do any tabletop gaming, you know what I mean? And instead I just clammed up for a year and a half and then was, you know, triggered by like a tweet you put out that I happened to be looking at the timeline during, and I was like, right, Will, oh, he should do my podcast. Oh, that's a good second date. And then also a podcast on high, especially this, it's kind of like, then it comes out and it's like, I'm becoming friends with Will.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is like, I've talked to people about how it is like so much more terrifying to try to like become friends with someone than it is to like ask out, in my case, would be like, you know, ask out typically a girl. Cause like, if somebody doesn't want to go out on a date with you, it's like, well, they're just not interested in you like romantically or whatever. But if you ask somebody to like, hang out, they're like, no, you as a person, no thanks.
I wouldn't like, I don't want to fuck you. You're like, no, I know. I don't even want to talk to you. Like,
honestly, I wish you just wanted to fuck me.
It'd be an easier dust off. Well, there's something about like making friends that I think we put like, everyone, we put too much onus or we put too much weight on it. It makes it seem too much. It's like, what is like friends in the modern, like super digital online era anyway? It's like, there are people who I like read their thoughts every day or sometimes even interact with their thoughts or their, and then I was like, I don't think I've seen this person in person in 3 years, if not ever. Like some people I'm just like, I don't like. If I've met you in person, it was years ago, right?
I have been talking to this guy, Quincy. He's like, he works at the Comedy Store. He takes the Avails phone calls on Mondays. And I've been talking to this guy on the phone for 9 years. And I finally saw him a month ago there. And we had a conversation and talked. And then the next time I talked to him on a Monday, he was like, I didn't even know that was you when I was talking. He was like, if I was being standoffish, because he's always so friendly. He was like, if I was being standoffish, I didn't know that was you. And then afterwards I was like, wait, that was Will Weldon. And
I can't like, talk to him every Monday.
Yes. For 9 years I've been talking to this guy.
He just had no idea what you looked like.
Dude, no idea. And I think we were on this show together and I think we had a mutual sense of extreme relief. We were both like, oh, thank God this guy made me laugh. Like, thank God.
I've not been talking
to a total dud all this time. Yeah,
that would be the extra layer of like, shit, now I'm like tied into a relationship. Now I find like, that's the other thing about friends is like, we go out to dinner and I do something that is off-putting and you're like, fuck, now I like, because breaking off a friendship that is like a budding friendship is,
yeah.
And it's not at all like romance, but there is something that you put weird pressure on it where you like the no worries if not is like the real, like you're like, and also if you don't want to be my friend, put the kibosh on this now. I don't want to be.
Oh yeah. Like if you had been busy one more time, if you had been like, I have to push the recording back again, I was fully going to be like, it's okay if you're having second thoughts about me having me on one episode of your podcast.
Dude, when today was happening and I was stuck, I was just telling you off mic, but I was doing a stonery podcast before this and they were running long and it was far away from my house. I did have a car service. I'm safe. But I was just like, oh shit. And in my head, I'm like, you've pushed on this dude twice now. If you do this again, it's going to come across like you're trying to become friends with. And like, I was ready. Cause I was like, sent that email. I was like, I remember you said you had a heart out. If I'm fucking with you, please tell me. I was ready to write back like this email. I'm like, I'm never even this busy in my life. I swear to God, I just happen to have a TV show out now. Nothing like this ever happens. I'm so sorry. Like as if I came in my pants. This never happens, Will. I promise you. I was so ready to like heart in hand be like, I'm so glad we were both ready to blow it all up.
Oh yeah, I know. There was one time this guy, like I hadn't seen him in forever and we were going to get a coffee and he forgets. He forgets everything, you know? I know.
I have friends like that. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the scorpion and the frog thing. Like, I truly cannot get upset with this person if they forget to do something. Because I know. Why'd you sting me in the middle of the lake? Well, famously, I sting everyone in the middle of the lake. And then we both drown.
And you're in the middle of the lake with me currently.
Yes.
This is a pattern. I've never let you down like this.
And it also is because I'm like, you know, fucked up from like doing comedy and also the world. It's like, he forgot, we were supposed to meet up for coffee and he forgot and he had to push it back a few hours. And when I got there the second time, I was like, now if he doesn't show up again, I will be upset, but I will also laugh. I will also respect this bit. If he insists he will be here and then doesn't show up again, I can only laugh because that is like a funny thing to do to somebody. Like I genuinely would have let you push this as many times as you wanted because I was like, well, if nothing else, I'll get to see how many times this guy will push this on me before he finally just doesn't respond to my email.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is like there is a layer of the fact that it's Zoom now and it's not like you were driving to a studio or had to get into my house or whatever. Or like because that shit has happened in the past where it's like I have a guy like my friend Ross had to like my haircut went long and I thought it was gonna be timed out so well and then there was like crazy traffic in West Hollywood to get home to West Hollywood where I live and he's just like sitting outside my apartment for like 45 minutes. I'm like, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm sorry. I was like, I should be out of here. But at least like Zoom, it's okay. Like when because I got guests that totally flake, you know, in reverse, because I forget to remind people as you might be actively.
Yeah. You know, I
think I wrote back, I'm a fucking mess right now. And that is not an exaggeration.
What do you have, like two different podcasts named after getting high? Like, you know, I understand.
We need to cool these jets for a little bit in between sound barrier breaks.
And it's also a fucked up thing. Because it's like, also, like, I've listened to enough Doughboys. And also, I'm a pro. I listen to a podcast before I go on it. Because I had a thing, I would, like, ask friends to do their podcast. Because I would genuinely have listened to them. And I'd be like, no, I like your podcast. I'd love to do it. And then at the end of the show, they'd be like, and now's the time for the list of things. And I was like, what? What list of things? And I would realize, oh, fuck, I've never finished an episode of this podcast. Right. Like, I've listened to the first half of a bunch of episodes. So for this one, I listened to multiple to make sure I wouldn't be, you know, ambushed with anything.
Bro, this is so funny. I am the exact opposite. I get like for me, it's glory hole. Like I get a rush from not knowing. Oh. Like the rush for me is just sitting down and they're like, all right, so what is your favorite 1990s horror episode of a sitcom? And I'm like, holy shit. I just pride myself on my bullshit ability that I can be like, so I like to challenge myself and sit down and be like, okay, ready to talk about this show I watched one episode of or whatever. I love that shit.
Yeah, that's improv mindset versus stand-up comedy. Like, I'm like a hardcore, like I show up to a show and I have my set planned already. And I'll be listening to the show and like adapting it. I hate not being prepared. Which is like ironic because I did improv all through high school at like a theater founded by a guy who literally wrote a book called Don't Be Prepared. And I was like, I'm never going to listen to this advice, man. Yeah. No way ever.
Yeah, you're like, if these Boy Scout guys would stop molesting me, I would like, I agree with a lot of shit. I always want to be prepared.
Yeah.
But they can't keep their fucking hands off me.
Also another thing, cause I'm from Canada, Boy Scouts, it took me forever to understand Boy Scouts references because don't have them.
Do you have like mini Mounties or whatever, something like that?
I only did the very entry level and, that was beavers.
The beavers, huh? That's so awesome.
Dude, we can't do anything cool in Canada. Every Canadian thing is the most embarrassing. Like the toonie, that's humiliating to have a $2 coin called the toonie.
I love it. The loony and the toonie, it fucking rolls.
It's revolting. And there was a real chance that the $2 coin was instead going to have two male deer on it and be called $2 or the $2 coin. It's just like, what are we, children? Like an amusement park is a country.
Dude, you're saying it derogatorily, saying, what are we, children? Amusement park of a country. For me, it's like, as a fan of world building, like Canada is like, I could like write the names of other shit that, like, you know, you could start guessing other things going on in Canada because it's like so themed. It's like, no, it's cold. Like don't worry. We got animals. Everyone in the world knows like what kind of animals are fucking around up in Canada. Like all know.
And people lie. They're such liars in Canada when they'll be like out in the freezing cold in shorts. They'll be like, it's not even cold to me. And it's like, yes, it is. Yeah. You're a liar. This is so performative right now. No one cares that you're in shorts in freezing cold weather.
Take it from me, the fat kid on your college campus who wore shorts in the winter. No one cares. Despite your best effort to show your calves as a personality, it does not land.
Oh, yeah. And that's
the thing. I was that guy. Still am that guy.
Yeah, but it's like the guys, it'd be like, it wouldn't matter how big they were on top. They would always have the most chicken legs. And it's like, buddy, that looks like the coldest part of your body. Yeah. If you walked
like
around
the little white,
I would
little
buy.
White thigh, like your their knees, like it gets a little red, you know, it looks like fucking raw chicken. You're like, I'm worried about you, dog.
Yeah, why are you so chapped after 5 minutes out here? Yeah.
The wind, I think the wind chill is affecting your fucking knees, man. I'm watching eczema occur. Yeah,
it's a truly perverse country, and I don't like very much of
what
it.
What province are you from?
I grew up in Calgary, but I moved down here from Toronto. And I really hated growing up in Calgary.
I was gonna say, how long did you live in Calgary? So did you like start doing comedy in Toronto?
And I started doing comedy, dude. I've been doing comedy for such a long time.
I mean, obviously.
I fucked my career up so bad at one point. I sometimes stop and think, and I'm like, damn, I sold a pilot to a television network, and now I am like begging to get on shows that no one is at. Like, why did I let my depression get that bad for that long?
Well, you know, it's chicken or egg. What came first, the depression or wanting to work in Hollywood?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's a endless cycle, brother.
Yeah. So bad for somebody's brain. Holy shit, man. Just like getting to that point of being like, no, I won't drive to Santa Monica to audition for MTV again. They have hours of tape of me. Just watch some of that and make the decision.
They must know.
What could I possibly have left to show them at this point after 9 years of going down and being like, welcome to Old Fridge, the show where kids go through a fridge.
Dude, I booked like four of those fucking shows. I was like the MTV2, like, all right, now, like, I was doing game, like, I did a game show for fucking True TV. Shout out Hey, thank you for picking up 101 Places to Party Before You Die. But I also did some garbage for True back in the day. I did a show called Hair Jacked. So, lovely people that all worked on it, but it was cash cab in a salon. Oh, and I played like the janitor and I would like sweep up hair and then come over and be like, you're actually on a game show. That's the shit I was doing. Like, thankfully, like begging for it. And yeah, like, I'm like, this isn't what I wanted to do at all when I was like, when I was a child, or like when I decided to do comedy. It was not this at all. Yeah. But then you get like the idea of money, and then you're like depressed about success, and then you're depressed about lack of it.
At a comedy festival one time, I had like a casting person from MTV I'd seen a bunch of times. She came up to me and she was like, oh my God, Will. She's like, you know, we love having you come in so much. You've come close to booking. You've come so close to booking so many things. And I was like, why would I take anything but the utmost of frustration? Yes. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, get out of this building. You have 30 seconds. Yeah. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. I'm glad I strapped this vest of dynamite to myself, knowing what conversations I was going to be having tonight.
I could have assumed this is the fucking conversation I was going
to
be having.
Yeah, I've never been like, hey, you know, I'm just honored to be considered for Toilet Town on MTV3. Fuck. But now I'll do it again. I'll start coming back in if they want.
I'm back, baby. But whatever league you want, whatever league you think I belong in, I'm just happy to get the at-bats. Like,
yeah, fuck, man. Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
The business is insane. I don't even know. There is no, what is success now? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, is it money? Who knows?
I've been, getting promoted to like the double Bs. I'll take it. I'll do it. I'll go right. To Chesapeake and, you know, host a
the Chesapeake
fry.
Mud Dogs. Now our starting lineup for the Mud Dogs, and tonight of course is Bring Your Own Mud Night. Whip it at your favorite player. Yeah. And these Mud Dogs will bark for you. It's just like a guy, Jesus Christ, I'd rather fucking
a team of guys in like jorts and hoodies out on the field. Great. You bring your own uniform for the players. That's where I've
jorts, knee braces and hoodies just yeah.
They're great grandkids. Like are there
weirdly loose socks. You know? Nothing says get your life together like loose athletic socks.
Mine are all dress because I wear a lot of. There are times where the elastic goes out, and I'm like, "Don't do this, man. Just throw them out." Don't be this guy. Where
don't get the Ren and Stimpy garter shits that like you hold them up.
Well, and so this is also a thing with like making friends as a comedian because like it. You have like the cheater way because there's some people you just see enough at shows.
Right. They become like the guy from like, as I try to describe this to non-comics all the time. It's like eventually these people become like someone from your office where you're like, oh, we've maybe gotten a drink once or twice, but mostly we just kind of go like, hey, and then we enjoy each other's company for the 8 minutes that we're in the break room at the same time, or in our case, the green room or the audition waiting room or whatever. And then it's like, but then you like maybe never actually spend any extra time with them.
Yeah. And it's like with those people, you're like, well, you know, we don't really like to put a label on it. You know, we see each other when we see each other.
Yeah. That person's not on the email list going out for your like birthday or whatever. Yes. Or like who's around to go to the beach and like a big crew. Like if that's something you even do, you don't put out the vibe that you're sending out emails being like, I'm throwing a bash.
Yeah. No. Oh my God. No. The first time I had a birthday party like once when I first moved here, and it ended with me and my friend getting thrown out of the snake pit because we were arguing about FDR too loudly. And and then,
like Canada on brand.
Yeah. And then the next one was like 6 years later because I had just gotten divorced like 3 months earlier. And then I didn't plan another one until 2 weeks before COVID shut everything down. And when that happened, I was like, never again will I plan a birthday party. Never again.
I'm the fucking big email list where I force people whose only connection to each other is the fact that they both know me from different stages of my life, make them hang out on like a bus ride to a rugby match or like catering at the beach or some shit. I've been doing such stupid like college parties this whole time.
Well, and I've heard you say, because I've developed enough of like I'm coming in with the advantage to this because I don't have a podcast and am not on podcasts ever anymore. But whereas, so
I gather
I've had the opportunity. You're canceling on me a dozen times. I'm like, no, I'll still do it. Somebody cancels last minute and I'm around. But it's like I've developed enough of like a parasocial relationship with you to know like, yeah, you know, you like to take people on bus rides, you know, you like to go to Vegas a lot. And I'm like, we can't mention that to somebody. One time back when Marc Maron was still just doing like bar shows around, I saw him and I was like, hey, man, I heard you and your girlfriend broke up. I'm really sorry. I hope that doesn't suck too much. And he was like, who told you that? And I was like, you did on your fucking podcast. That's like the third most popular podcast in the world. Yeah, I was like,
it's three of the nine podcasts that exist right now, Mark.
Yeah. And I was like, I'll never do this again. I will never comment on something someone said on a podcast to them ever again.
Bro,
weirded out.
Bro, I know exactly. Like, Ike Barinholtz is a dude who I always thought was super funny. I started following him on social media. And then like I eventually met him in person and I was like, I know like way too much about his career. And I had to be like, maybe I should just like unfollow some of these people. Cause I like knew too much about him and it was like stressing me out that like how little he knew about me. And I'm like, if we ever meet, like I feel insane. Also, I'm a safe bet because cliche is not the right word, but like I'm a paint by numbers type person. I wear it. I look like it. I sound like it. Like what all the shit you want to guess about me. I'm a cartoon in that way. So it's easy for you to be like, I know this guy's vibes. He's telling me constantly what his vibes are. He won't shut up about his fucking vibes.
But you're still like, but you still have the curveballs of being like an intense, like, tabletop role-playing guy and like a big like fantasy novel guy and like a real fantasy novel guy where you're like, I'm reading Dragons of Autumn Twilight again and it's like, oh my god, you know, so
I listen to all of Wheel of Time in the pandemic, dude, from 14 fucking books.
Oh yeah, looking at like the episode titles for this show and seeing like three Wheel of Time, four fantasy novels, there's, you just did another Dungeons and Dragons episode like came out today. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I think I see what this person's main interest is.
Well, my life is like, this podcast is so self-serving that I literally go like, I find this person interesting, we have this thing in common, come talk to me about it. Like I threw it out too to you, and I was like, you want to talk tabletop? And then when you said making friends, I was like, yo, even better, because that is that's another thing I think like grown-ups we forget is like you can have different friend groups and friend sets that does not feel like something normal when you're young, but when you get older and you get like those splintered activities and you're like, oh, those are my poker friends, we don't really do much outside of poker, but maybe we're at each other's birthday, maybe we're at a big event, or we overlap at a third thing or something like that, and they're like, oh, those are like my friends, these are my group of friends that I know from I used to work with them, but we always go to the Renaissance Fair together and now they're still my friends or whatever, but they're not. And then you have like those different, and all you need to know is like, it's okay, like there's sort of like a shared assumption, and maybe this is very LA specific because there's so many people that you're interconnected with, but it feels like, and in New York City when I lived there, it felt like everyone was okay with being like, text each other four times in the next 7 months, and then maybe we hang out three times in 1 year, and I don't think it's like you're lowballing me on our friendship or whatever. Like, you have friends that you hang out with all the time. Like, we all know that about each other. We all have more friends that we hang out with more, but it's like no one gets mad that it's just like, hey, we really don't hang out as much as I think I deserve. It's like, I also am a childless 40-year-old. All of my friends have kids. It's like, how come you aren't hanging out with me all the time? It's like, I can't say that. They have so many more important people in their lives.
Yeah, and I mean, also, you live in West Hollywood, and that is like, that is a trek.
Yeah, babe, I lose all my fucking East Side friends. And which is all of them. And then all my friends either live in the East Side or the Valley now as they've gotten older, or like the Glendale area, like and that's even further. I went to go do a show in Atwater last night. It's like a 50-minute drive. I was like, I'm driving 50 minutes each way for a 10-minute set.
I live like right by the freeway now, and it's for sure shaved, you know, 3 years off my life from like the insane amounts of pollution I breathe every day. Both of our cats have asthma. Like, it's fucking insane. But
I lived above the BQE for 10 years in Brooklyn. I totally get it, dude. It was like our ocean sound. It was just like,
yeah. And it's I used to, for years, I lived like right at like no freeway entrance or exit anywhere nearby. And like, it took me forever to get anywhere. And it just was like so awful to do, to just be like, well, hopping on Santa Monica Boulevard where there is a light every 9 feet somehow. No, and I'm driving all the way to the ocean today for some reason.
To audition for a commercial.
Yes.
To be whatever his name is, Tommy Taco or whatever, the empty fridge guy, Fridge Raiders. Welcome back to MTV3's Fridge Raiders. This is Will Weldon. I'm Johnny G. And we're checking out what's in your fridge. Open this bitch up. Sorry.
Johnny G canceled the headlines next
Keeps
day.
Keeps calling fridges bitches.
I got to watch too a friend of mine. I mean, we're not really friends anymore. But like the first time we hung out, he invited me to a concert. And so we like took the subway downtown. I like met up with him after he was done work. We took the subway downtown and this concert was at, do you know The Smell?
No, I've heard of it.
It's like an all ages venue downtown. And it's a dump. Like the urinal is always destroyed because it's like a bunch of kids who can't drink. So they lash out by like just smashing shit. Yeah. And we walk in and there's like eight people there and the band is the opener band. There's like three fiddlers and a percussionist and everyone's standing in a circle around them. And the guy I'm there with, he's like, texts me, you know, like under his coat. And he's like, do you want to just go get a beer until the headliner? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we go and get a beer and then we come back for the headliner. And there's like seven people left. The headliner plays for maybe 15 minutes and then leaves. And I got to watch him the whole night. Just be like, fuck, man, I fucking invited this guy to this thing.
He's so
fucking bad. I can't believe this is happening to me right now. I look like a fucking loser.
Listeners, I got a podcast recommendation for you. It's called TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Ashley Ray, I've been following on Twitter forever, and she is the absolute funniest. She got strong opinions about cannabis and TV, so you know I'm a fan. She's a writer for Variety, Vulture, and Emmy magazines. And on each episode of TV I Say with Ashley Ray, she keeps you up to date with the shows everyone is talking about. Ashley watches a lot of TV, and that's not just like copy for a commercial for her. The woman watches a ton of TV. She digs into classic tropes and breakdowns the best moments in television with some of your favorite comedians, actors, TV writers, and more. I can tell you something that she's probably going to have a pretty cool guest on her podcast coming up. I'm talking about me. TV I Say with Ashley Ray is like the hangout sitcom of a podcast you've been waiting for. Check out TV I Say with Ashley Ray wherever you listen to podcasts and find out more on earwolf.com.
Hello, Fresh.
Oh, man. Farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to my doorstep? Yes, please. Come on. They have over 30 dinner recipes to choose from every single week. You know I'm talking about Hello Fresh at this point. Here's what I like about it. It opens my mind to new recipes that I wouldn't normally make, and then you learn how easy it is, and then that's just added to your rep of down the line. You're like, oh, okay. Now I know what I'm doing here. Now it's pretty easy for me to make a Tuscan spiced shrimp myself or a cucumber salad stuffed pita pocket or my favorite, which you've heard me talk about before, the chicken sausage stuffed peppers. Ooh, healthy and delicious. I will be making stuffed peppers on my own and then hopefully getting some more ingredient kits from them in the mail. So it's 72% cheaper than dining at a restaurant and is even cheaper than grocery shopping. That's money back in your pocket. Make that money. And their newest menu release includes Mediterranean recipes filled with fresh fruits, veggies, nuts, olive oils, and fiber-packed whole greens for nourishing balance. So they got everything you need. So go to HelloFresh.com/high16 and use code high16 for up to 16 free weeks and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/high16 and use code high16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Yo, I'm like maybe realizing something about myself in this conversation, because what you're describing sounds a lot like first dates to me.
Yes.
But I'm someone who's never actually been on a date, because I've been with my wife since college. So it was kind of like I never did a first date and sat across. But it sounds like that. And then that's why I think maybe partially why I chase those experiences, because I was going to ask, I was going to leave something I'm comfortable doing is like trying something for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go take a martial arts class by myself. All right, I'll go join a swim team or whatever. Like, I'm comfortable with that shit, because I'm always like, if I hate it, I can like do anything. I can lie about anything for an hour, 2 hours tops. But that's a weird way to like kind of make friends as a grown up. But I was just curious if that's some, if that's a muscle or a bone you have in your body.
No.
Yeah. I didn't want to guess. I didn't want to continue the sketch. I assumed that that's not your, you're not like, okay, well, I'll show up to this board game cafe by myself. Even something you love like is difficult.
I am so anxious about every single new experience I've ever had. Like, I have gone to,
I appreciate Geeky the Tees. Honesty.
Yeah, I've gone to Geeky Tees on like a Tuesday to do the like Adventurers League like nights there, which is like the official D&D stuff. And before I leave, I'm always like, what if everybody thinks I'm a loser? And my wife is like, are you worried everybody at the Adventurers League night at Geeky Tees is going to think you're a loser? Like, are you listening to yourself right now?
The glass house view is insane there. Don't worry about it, Will.
Yes. Like, it's all any, even just like doing a show for the first time.
Right.
I don't want to do it.
See, oh, and maybe that's part of the reason why, like, you don't want to do it, but that's the practice. That's what I'm realizing. A lot of my going to a stranger's, back pre-pandemic when you would go to a stranger's house to do their podcast, back before that, I coached improv, and that would be in like people's apartments, and you'd have to like find their apartment and go up there, and it was always awkward. And then throw on top of that auditions, and then I do it. You get to know an audition spot. Like, I lived in New York for 10 years, and I've lived out here for 10 years. You have to like learn all new audition spots, and it's always uncomfortable, and you're like, enter the building here. This is parking. And like, you're constantly doing these experiences that you do for the first time. Like, even an audition at a, like, they have a lot of things in common, but you could do 1,000 of them and never repeat the place you go to. And
why?
It's like, you're just always walking into something new. Like, I think part of the career. And then you're saying shows, and that's triggering. Like, I'm thinking bar shows. I remember when I was coming up in New York, it'd be like, yeah, they're going to have an improv group at this thing. And it's like, we're standing in the fucking thing. And like, you know, and like the manager's like, who are you guys? We're like, we're Mailer Demon. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why are there so many white fat people standing here? It's like, we're Mailer Demon. You know, just kidding. I think I was the only fat person on Mailer Demon. I was projecting. They're probably all fat now. No, sorry guys.
Yeah, for me it was always the parking thing. Like, I would be like constant emails of like, this is where I have to park, because if I pull up to park somewhere and they tell me I've come to the wrong spot, I will have
just
a
drive home.
Die. Like,
yeah, I'll never turn around, okay. Drive home with my head right in my oven.
Dude, my whole family, my mom's entire side of the family all has this. And but we don't talk about it. Nobody ever fucking talks about it. And one day I was like 28, and my Uncle Kevin was like, I thought I was the only one who had it. My Uncle Kevin was like, no, I've got it. We've all got it. Sometimes I'll go on a sales call to a place I've been a dozen times, and I'll just freak out in the parking lot and turn around and drive home and not go. And I was like talking to my mom about it. I was like, why didn't anybody tell me that we all have this? And she was like, you didn't know? I mean, I used to come home from work every day and just sit at the coffee table and cry. And I was like, no, I just thought that was normal. Like, no, I just grew up unbelievably fucked up thinking it was normal to be miserable every moment of your life.
Dude, my mom will say shit like, well, I don't know what you're talking about with your anxiety. You have anxiety. And I'll be like, Joanne, I can tell you it's because of you. And she's like, wow. And my mom is a nurse.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And she's like anxiety. Come on. And I'll be like, she'll straight up say things. Oh, I guess I just remember it differently. Yes. No shit you do, because I was 12. My brain was plastic as fuck, and I've never gotten that image out of my head, okay?
Yeah.
You mean when dad punched out his brother in front of me? Yeah, no, that's burned into my fucking head, Mom. I saw that when I was like 11. That's so insane. It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have this unbelievably, like, specific memory of being a kid and one of my uncles holding me down and making me drink out of a baby bottle, one of my like baby cousin's bottles, like holding me down and making me drink out of it while all of my like adult and cousins and the adult like aunts and uncles, while they all like literally I remember it as like a nightmare, like elongated faces and like red eyes, like pointing and laughing.
Well, your view too is like straight up. It's like a classic like movie bully, and like a kid being bullied angle.
They're like curved over me.
Yeah.
Like forming
like
a dome.
The fucking ghost shadows. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like only over the last year have I been like, oh, I was genuinely traumatized in that moment. Like I literally have not been the same since that happened. And now I'm like, great. Now I have to resist the urge to like punch out an old man with a really bad back the next time I see this.
Yeah,
guy.
Because I'm realizing they did this and they don't know they did that. They're like, well, we did that to everybody. And then you just like look at all your cousins and you're all like fucking defeated. And you're like, oh yeah, no shit. It's such a wild experience to be like maybe the only person in your family with hindsight.
My cousin got the yips. He did all his hours of training to be a helicopter pilot. And one day he was in the air with like a trainer and he just lost it. It just was gone out of his brain. And his mom had just been diagnosed. My aunt had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. They had to like land. He has not flown since. And I asked him one time, I was like, did you ever like talk to a therapist or anything about it? And he was like, no. And then we both laughed because we knew nobody does that in our family.
Yeah, I know.
Even though we know we need to, we just won't do it. The only guy who goes to therapy and takes antidepressants is the uncle that is always not on speaking terms with at least one member of his family. The biggest prick uncle is the one
who's taking care of themselves.
Yes. Yes.
That's so real. The only uncle in my family who's on pills is arrested because of pills. Don't think he was prescribed that many oxys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had someone in my family. I should probably be like not using connections here, but I had someone in my family get like in a car accident that wasn't their fault. And when the cops came to help him out of the car, he was so fucked up out of his mind that they had to put him in jail. Couldn't get him to like talk. He's like, you were driving like this. He was like not speaking, like barely. It's like he was just so blasted.
God damn it.
And he wouldn't have gotten caught if he didn't get T-boned.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a thing where like it's like you're found not to be at fault while you're serving a month in prison.
Right. Well, good news. Your car is being paid for, at least. You did lose your job while you were in here.
Yeah, good news. Your rates won't be going up for this, but you have had
some good news. You have an excuse to for a bad back prescription. So you're back, babe. You're back on the fucking wagon, dog, or off of it, whatever it is. Whichever one the bad one is.
Off. Mm-hmm. The wagon is good. Think about it like the haunted hayride. It's right, good right. To be on that wagon.
Yeah, you don't need to be out there.
That's my unbelievably bad mnemonic device to remember if it's good or bad to be on the wagon.
Hey, man, we told you to stop hanging outside of AA with this bullshit, okay? You have like a little mini hayride wagon and shit set up. It's like, why is there a visual aid? What do you do with your time? Why don't you go to therapy?
good one.
See you around, brother.
It's my therapist closed her practice after she had her third kid and sold her novel. It's like so,
and she sold like a Silence of the Lambs type novel where the character is definitely you and you read it. I work like the freak came in again for his normal set. You're like, this is me. Are you fucking serious?
Well, I couldn't. I mean, this is not weird. I couldn't watch. I couldn't watch New Girl or Love because my ex was a writer on both of them, and I became so sure when I was watching Love, and I knew it was insane, but I became so paranoid that Mike Mitchell's character had traits informed by me. I couldn't handle it. And the most
and that's like so funny because that's layered in, like, even if you're a little bit right, you're still insanely narcissistic. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a fuck if you do. Yeah. It's like every direction you look at that from, you're like, yes, I know I'm fucking crazy. Okay, fine.
And the most reassuring thing anyone ever said about it was when Eliza Skinner told me, she was like, "Well, that's a stupid thing for you to worry about. Mike Mitchell has charisma." And I was like, all right, this makes me, does make me feel a lot better.
Got it. Okay.
You got me. Good one. I do feel better now. Yeah. God. Yeah. And with New Girl, I'd just be sitting. It was like, because we split up while she was writing for it. And I tried to watch an episode and just immediately was like, gee, I wonder if that's one of her little fucking jokes. And yeah, I was like, whoa. Not okay. A lot of television out there, man. Just watch The Shield.
Yeah, like you're watching this because you want to be angry because you're seeking something to flip out about.
Immediately, No. You are 27. You know better.
Don't touch the stove. Come on.
Yeah,
activities for you. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say? My bad.
Well, I was just going to say, I had the same thing as you where my ex-wife and I met in college and then we were together until I was like 27.
Right.
Almost 28. And then we split up and it was just like an insane to me. I was like just entering my physical prime. And I was like, well, this makes no sense. This isn't crazy to sell an investment right before it pays off. Like, bail on this in 2 years, lady.
Yeah, just do two more. I might start making money soon.
It was crazy too. That was probably when I was making the most money. Like 4 months later, I was making the most money I ever made in my entire life. I was just like, was she doing me a favor? I don't understand why this happened. But no, we are just horribly incompatible with each other. Looking back.
People change a lot. Luckily, my wife and I, we change a lot, but we kind of changed towards each other in a lot of directions too. But we're also like really just okay with each other being freaks. And like, that's been like a life-saving thing since 2003, because like we've been together like arguably too long, very specific phases of our lives. Like, we're entering our 40s together, like, and we're like only a couple of months apart in age because we were in the same year at school. So like, our lives are so like, we've been just doing every fucking like milestone together, and it just feels fucking crazy.
Yeah,
like it feels wild. It's like, when we just imagine, like, I'm coming up on like where it's going to be longer that I've been with her than I was without her, which is just like an insane math in your head when you're like, yeah, I am going to be 43 when that happens. And then it's only going
to
get,
I remember when that happened to me with The Simpsons, and that was a weird experience. Right, so I couldn't imagine that with a person.
Wait, yo, that talking about that, the thing that made me realize when I got old, the first time I felt like weird old and felt uncomfortable was when I realized I was older than some police and most of the Playboy models. Like, the second I was like, oh my God, I'm older than cops. Like, when I was like 26, I'm like, if I call the police, it could be a 22-year-old kid with a gun that comes to help me. And it's like, no, that's nuts. And then like, when the second you're like 26 and you look at Playboy and you're like 19, like, whoa, I can't look at that. That's, you know, like, you're like, I've adjusted. No. And then you're like, I've been looking at that for so long, thinking they were like these, you know, older women, these like grown women. And then it just flipped immediately where I was like, that is someone's daughter. You shouldn't be selling these.
Yeah. Right after my ex-wife and I split up, I got a Facebook message from a casting person who asked me if I wanted to be on the second season of an MTV like reality dating show called Are You the One? Where it's like 10 guys and 10 girls who are bad at love, but their perfect match is in
somewhere in there. They're aiming. Yeah.
And if all 10 matches are figured out by the end, they split $1 million. And I was just like, I'm not doing this. And I referred them to my manager and never heard back from them. But and then my wife and I started watching when we first started dating. And it was like, I was like, it would have been one of those things where I would have been standing in the background, all these like fucking drunk, horny morons. And I'm kind of in the background like, what have I done? Like, guys, come on, everybody, let's all take a breather. Okay. Everybody.
And there's just one woman across the way in the other corner, like all sketched out. And then you're like, all right, we're one tenth of the way there, baby. Hold on. Where the money's in the bank.
Or there's somebody there like actively like snorting pills. And I'm like, I bet that's mine.
Yeah.
I bet they think I need somebody to like make me a little more fun.
My Myers-Briggs lines up perfectly with hers somehow. I was on a fucking reality show my first year after college when I was like 22. I was working as a PA at VH1. Shout out, I Love the 90s Part Duh and Celeb Diet Secrets. Yeah, a little special I did. It was brutal. But I was always on Craigslist just like, you know, responding to jobs, trying to find freelance work and shit. It was like 04, 05. Wasn't fully like, corrupted. There were sections to do sketchy shit, but there wasn't fully corrupted yet. And I just saw like a listing, like, do you like trivia? Do you like strategy or whatever? And I was like, just like, had like the template saved in my work email. So I was just like, fire off like 10 a day of like, yeah, I do comedy and blah, blah, blah. And so just to see, and this hit, and they were like, it was called Studio 7, and you can find it on YouTube. I think I've talked about it on previous episodes, but it was like so 2005. It like was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire meets Weakest Link with living together for a week leading up so you can strategize and make alliances behind. And then the imagery was all like Matrixy and Lord of the Rings. It was like just trying for everything that was popular at once. But Pat Kiernan was like the host, the New York One guy. It was like, literally, they like cut together like a woman saying like a woman. She was also a 22-year-old kid. She was like, "I have John. I know how to flirt with him and have him like wrapped around in like a confessional." And I'm like in a confessional. Like they got me like doing headstands and shit. Like they painted me like this fucking dumb wild card or whatever. And then it went down to me and her, and I was like just watching myself be edited into a heightened version of myself was just so eye-opening. I was like, this is bad for people in general, because I have a personality that distilled does not become awful, really. It just becomes obnoxious. But the way a show can make you look based on your behavior, like, God help these fucking Real Housewives and
I don't want to know
Top Chefs and shit. Yeah.
I don't want to know what my defining attribute is that they would single out and make like me the blank guy on one of those shows. I don't ever want to know what the top thing people think of, like see me as. That would chill me to my core. I'd never be the same. I'd do everything I could to become a completely different person.
Right. I do not want to be categorized. I mean, like being read like that. I put it out enough, like the avatar of me, like there's too much info of me, of who I really am out there, that people know me like too well and can like jump to conclusions. Like, you know, I'll be like tagged in something like at Gabrus, check this out. And it'll be like a female power lifter. And it'll be like, this guy like knows my like horny shit. Like, I gotta get that. Like, I gotta get this person out of my, like, I talk too much.
Yeah, I had to make sure on Instagram, and I don't even have very many followers, but like I could never have a picture of like my feet or anything on Instagram because I'd get like a DM from somebody being like, you know, you should really round your toenails off more because they can get ingrown the way you cut them. And I'm like, I'm going to puke until I die.
I don't want to know about any of this. I know I'm a fucking, I'm barely alive over here. Relax about my toenails. I can't handle, dude, being analyzed like with the show I just did, like, I just did this travel show and I was also a creator. So we were in the edit and people,
I saw you guys have have one of the billboards on the strip. I saw it driving. I was like, oh, I'm going to eventually do that guy's podcast.
Oh, he just rescheduled on me. Speak of the fucking devil, this asshole.
I was like, I've got 5 minutes at the Comedy Store. I don't need this in my life.
I'm busy this week. Are you a person who has many friends?
So this is a thing to like tied in with the thing of like, you just see so many people, like, cause my wife is always like, I mentioned somebody and she goes, who? And I'm like, I've mentioned them a couple times. And she'll be like, you've mentioned 1,000 people to me. Like,
right.
You just meet so many people and see them like frequently enough that you mention them. But
it's always crazy when you have your partner with you at like a show and you're like, hey, what's up? And you're hugging the person. And they're like, what's that person's name? And I'm like, I have no fucking idea.
Dude. One time,
they're like the bouncer at this show that I've done a few times, but now I hug them.
One time I was on a date and we had to go to 4 different bars because every bar we went to kept having too many comedians in them. Like I could handle one or two, but there'd be multiple groups of multiple comedians there. And she for sure thought I was like, I don't know. She's like, what have you like done to people that you're doing this? I'm like, no, trust me. It would be so annoying if we stayed at these places.
Yeah, we do not want to engage with them. First of all, you're going to like some of them. You're going to think some of them are funnier than me. And I can't have that today. Okay.
Well, and when the pandemic started in, because Jess was really into that Instagram show that Z-Way was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things she would always do is she would ask the guests how many black friends they have. And she was telling me about it. And I was like, God, how many black friends do I have? And then I was like, how many friends do I have? Like, yeah, right. Because I'm like mortified by the idea of calling someone a friend. And in their head, they're like, acquaintance. Like,
yeah, right. Dude, me and my buddy Ben Rogers, a friend, we talk about like adult men using the term best friend and like how that seems crazy. It's like, because it's never fully reciprocal. It's always like, well, actually, my best friend's Will Welder. It's like, oh, well, my best friend. I thought you were my best friend. It's like, no.
I'll say one of my best friends. Always hedge it.
Same. Because you never want to know that someone's like, you're my best friend. They're like, you're one of my best friends as well. They say that back. You're like, I've said too much. I can tear. I'll fucking lose it. I'll go just like, okay, into traffic. Got it.
Yeah. I had one roommate who he was my roommate's friend and he moved in and we became really good friends really quickly. And to where now he probably would be my best friend, but I would always refer to him as one of my best friends. Cause it's like, he's got all these friends from like Boston and like when he was like in the music scene. And I'm like, it's just too presumptuous to assume. I've only known the guy for like, you know, 5 or 6 years. I don't know what kind of crazy blood connections he has with these other people.
But you want to convey closeness.
Yes.
Like, so like that I understand too, because like, you'll be like, yeah, this dude back in New York. Oh, he married me and my wife. Like he officiated our wedding. Like I'd feel weird to say like my best friend, but I like to let you know how close I am. I'll say, and like that's the shit that I was literally just talking to someone at a comedy show about this last night. They were recently engaged and they hate the term fiance.
Oh,
and I was saying, bad. I loved it. Because we were together for boyfriend and girlfriend so long that girlfriend and boyfriend felt like we were underplaying each other, because we're like, we were living together from 23 to 30 before we were even engaged. So it's like, we've been living together for 8 years and we're like, this is my girlfriend. It's like, we're at like a joint checking account. So to be engaged was just like a shorthand for like my fiance. It's like, well, then it's at least like it conveys a layer more of like closeness or seriousness, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I just think most of those terms you tend to age out of.
Like, right.
My my mother-in-law, she after she and like my wife's dad, they split up, and then she eventually got remarried to a guy, or she got married to a guy she had dated in like high school, and they ended up getting divorced just because like he's from Florida. They just like couldn't live together. They like couldn't find a way to like coexist. But then as they got older, they reconnected again. And now it's like they're clearly like back together. But it's like, you know, you're like almost 70. What are you going to be like? Oh, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend who is a, you know, woman in her late 70s. It's like weird. You'd be like, ugh.
Have you seen my girlfriend? She said we were supposed to be here at 5:30. My girlfriend, yes, the other aged person. Yeah. That's sitting alone. That's asking if we have an equal. Yeah.
Yeah. The other woman who's here to check out the retirement home today. Yes. Your girlfriend's here.
Yes, sir. Everyone's girlfriends. A lot of people's girlfriends in here, pal. Shove an old man. Shut the door like it's fucking backstage. A lot of people's girlfriends in here, buddy. I'm gonna pitch a dumb thought experiment here.
All right.
We're going on our first IRL friend date.
All right.
But you have to pitch. You're like,
come on.
Exactly.
This is so rude. I am a guest. I am your guest. And you do something like this.
No, I'll go first, I guess. I just thought, because truly, what would it be like, how would we, for lack of a better term, take this to the next level?
It genuinely, I mean,
it feels like that, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
And I say for the sake of the podcast, and potentially for the sake of both of ours enjoyment, we chase this dragon. Let's meet IRL. Do something board gamey or tabletop-y together in some capacity.
Oh, sure. I mean, I was going to say I probably would have done it the same way when I was like dating. It was always a drink or coffee for the first one.
Because you want to be able to pull it. You want it to end.
Well, for me, it's like, you know, you can't talk. Everything else, it's like any other activity, you're doing the activity first.
Right. And you can't really engage, like coffee is so passive and a drink is so passive.
Yeah, you're just like sitting there and like you can communicate. But like, you know, dinner, I have to spend the whole time reminding myself not to eat like a fucking wild animal.
Yeah, to remember that like people can see you now. This isn't like the tarp that you eat on in your apartment.
Oh, in a movie. Like if it's like a movie, you know, it's like, what if the movie sucks and they're like, this guy likes this shit? Like
just sitting next to someone for 2 hours, then it ends, you're like, so what do you do for a living? It's like such a crazy, your forearms kind of touching for 2 hours and then sitting and going out and be like, what'd you think? Too many black people. And you're like, oh, fuck, I got to break up with this person already. Like, they just say something that's such an insane, like what? Like, there's too many black people and nope for you. What the fuck are you talking about? I cannot see you again.
Yeah. And I'd even just like a bar. Like, I remember in one time for first date inviting this girl, because I was like, well, she lives so far away. I was like, a bar in between us that I know is at least fine is Residuals, which is like a dump in the valley. And famously, you can bring any size residual check there and they'll give you a drink for it and then like post it. And so I'm like sitting there and I see her pull up in like one of those Lexuses that are so expensive they don't have the front license plate thing. And I was just like,
that what you could tell a car is so expensive they have different laws.
Yes, yeah. And as soon as she gets out, I'm like, this girl's gonna be so pissed off we're here.
And she's going to not find my refrigerator fucking 3 cent residual. She's not going to find this as funny as I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm running up before she gets in. I'm like, give me the drink. Quick. Pretend like you're handing me my credit card back.
You're like, here's 5 residual checks. Just pretend like the tab is open. Okay. I could do coffee. I would love that.
Yeah, sure. That to me is the easy, because it's also like a tabletop thing. It's like, well, I didn't even know, because I'm also like, you
it could
know,
be 3.5-4 hours. It's like that's easier to want to cancel too.
Yeah. And I mean, COVID is going up, and it also is like, well, it's like, then what is that? Into? It's like, we could go to like a store, but then it's like, well, you're kind of like trapped in this, like,
right.
Afterwards, then you could go get coffee anyway, but it's like, we're going to like stand around and like, well, look at board games for 3 hours.
Let's get coffee and I'll bring metal miniatures and paint. And we'll
do you paint minis?
No.
Okay. Cause I
don't have the patience for a lot of things that I really want in life. Like,
dude, I never talk about this like publicly. I only talk about it with like a few friends to like annoy them or like send them pictures, and they'll be like, stop it, I hate this. But like, I started painting them like 2 years ago, and it is like the only thing I've ever done in my life where I'm like, I actually am genuinely embarrassed by this. And sometimes sometimes I'll be sitting, because like my office is in a closet, and I'll be painting and I'll finish and I'll walk out to dump my paint water, and I'll look at the couch and my wife is on her computer working. And I just want to look at her and be like, leave me.
It's fine. I get it. If you need to go, go.
Like,
permission granted.
I'm so ashamed in that moment. And she's like, look, you sit there quietly at like peace. Like, I exclusively endorse this. And I'm like, no, this is pathetic.
It's well, like when your dog sleeps for 4 hours, you're like, I don't know if I'm worried, but it's also like probably for the best. Just get your rest. You know, like it's probably great that Will's quiet for a few hours. He doesn't seem angry currently.
Oh, I will say also the first couple episodes I listened to, I did not know who, I thought Arthur was like your brother or something.
Yeah, I've gotten like that from sound engineer. I've gotten that from a few people, because everyone is always like, oh, I thought he was like the producer. I'm like, you know what? That is completely reasonable. And I started saying Arthur Gabrus, and then people were like, oh, it's his brother who's also an engineer. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Fucking wild.
Yeah, I was sure it was like a real. I was like, oh, weird. Weird that it's also kind of funny to like, you know, it's funny when somebody on a podcast doesn't mic up their producer and then just like talks to them.
Yeah.
Like to bug the shit out of them.
Yeah, that.
you hate that religion. You hate people who practice that religion, right? Yeah, yeah. He's shaking his head. Yes.
You were the one who were telling me that they had some good ideas, right? That was you that was saying that?
Yeah.
Well, I am down to get coffee, Mr. Weldon. Yeah. Like, are you the one? We'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do another episode. We'll keep you stay on the show a week longer.
Yeah. Hey, you know, may it be good. You know, I can be a bit of a downer. I'm better. I'm a lot better.
And this is like in 1 year, the podcast is like.
Yeah.
And I donated my kidney to Gabrus. That's how close we are. It's so random that we were the same blood type. And like, you find out it's been a long con to get a kidney.
Yeah. And then you're just like, we're not that close.
Yeah. We're not. Yeah. He's one of my best friends.
have you ever watched Vanderpump Rules?
No.
I love it. It's one of the greatest television shows ever. It's everyone on it. It's like one of those reality shows where you can tell frequently it is very real. Like these people are really screaming at each other. And there's one season where two guys, they're best friends. They talk all the time about how they've been best friends forever. They live together. They've been best friends forever. And the one guy had sex with the other guy's girlfriend. And the guy who had sex with his girlfriend is this guy, Jax Taylor, who is the craziest. Like, I heard on podcast people like, you know who I would most want to see Donald Trump interact with? Jax Taylor. Because like those two guys would lie more than the human mind can comprehend. And
they exist on a different plane of truth and reality.
Yeah. And when the one guy is like, dude, why did you do this to me? You're like my best friend. And the other guy goes, we're not that close. And I was just like, wow, this is one of the best moments of television I've ever seen. Because up until this one moment, they have called each other's best friends over and over. And then the guy can just look them in the eyes and be like, we're not that close.
People are fucking wild. That's so funny. Some people were asking me like, oh, do you watch those shows? And I was like, I literally said, for some reason, I can't watch like drunk people screaming at each other. And then like my wife looked at me and was like, what do you mean for some reason? You mean your childhood? I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly why I don't like it. I was like, oh yeah, watching people slowly get drunker and meaner, I can't handle, I don't want in my entertainment.
As
why is that?
Because
it was
every
single
them to
time.
Slow down and stop.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now that's a best friend. That's a best friend right there.
That's someone who knows you.
Yeah.
I hate that, like, my wife is my best friend shit, but, like, if you're, like, living with someone for 19 years, like, we're pretty fucking tight. I mean, and at this point, you know, like, we're 40 and we've been together for, it's like, we're best friends that fuck like a couple of times a week.
Sure. You know, whom amongst us?
Yeah, it rules.
You know, great. Truly the dream for so many scumbags.
Yeah. So, Will, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Here's a humiliating question.
I have. So I guess.
You got to have something, bro. No,
well, so I have an album.
Yeah. There you go.
It's called Fuck This Guy, because I love to make things as difficult for myself as possible.
Yeah. SEO on that is great. Yeah. As this guy fucks this guy. It's like, no, I want to watch the comedy album.
Yeah. I used to joke that I was going to call it Asian Hot Wife Cheats with BBC. Just have it be the most popular comedy album of all time. But there's that. And also, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. It's like it's stopped getting any airplay on satellite radio. So my other plug would be, if you are, I don't know who even has this, if you are someone who has satellite radio and you know how people get that shit to play, that would be great if you could get them to start playing it again.
I'll reach out to Raw Dog. I am a serious subscriber, so I'll tweet at Raw Dog, be like, yo, what happened to Fuck This Guy?
Mine was in Canada. It's like a make work program in Canada where the satellite radio station there just plays everybody's albums because you make no money in like comedy there. So it's like supplemental income.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Right, it was really awesome up until the month of July 2022 when I was damn, uh-oh.
Which we're currently in.
Yeah, oh, fuck. Uh-oh. Looks like they've released the royalties, but I'm not seeing a statement here for myself. Yikes.
Now, we do pay our guests a little bit. So when I Venmo you after this, do not think it was out of pity. Do not think it was out of direct response to what you just told me.
Thank you for telling me this.
I know.
So much. I really appreciate it.
I know.
From the bottom of my heart, you absolutely knew.
I don't know why I had to tell you that, because I think we're connecting.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, we are now in the era of like things all of a sudden pay, like even just doing shows, you'll even just get like 10, 15, 20 bucks.
Game changer. I love it.
The show I did last night, it was full and tickets were $15. And I was like, it's a new era for comedy in the city of Los Angeles. People are paying for it. And then the people running it are giving that money to the comedians. Like,
I think
both
something
of those things never happened.
Yes.
7 years ago.
I think something happened where people understand the plight of comedy artists in some way, because there's like a move towards, I think the pandemic / like the Patreon and podcast parasocial relationship development, I think caused this environment where people understood the mechanics. Like people like tweeting at True TV, like, yo, my man Gabrus is host, like, I'm stoked to check it out. They know that that is capital that they can throw out there. That is, and that's so, and then literally, like, with Patreon subscribers or people who buy the album, like, they are literally like patrons of the arts, which is like,
yes.
And they understand that, like, how fractured the industry is, and everyone's taste is so nicheified now, too, that it it makes it a. You don't make as much money. We don't have the highest ceiling like we once did, but we do have options to like survive on like just a small fan base, which is something that's a kind of amazing experience. And it's because of fans who you'll never catch me complimenting on this fucking podcast. But
dude, fans are dangerous.
they are like what I need to literally feed my family and at the same time terrify me.
Dude, the fandom for like Critical Role, which like I don't enjoy Critical, it's just not for me. It's like so sincere and earnest. It's like too kind of, I don't know, nerdy or something. I like don't watch it, but like particularly Matt Mercer, I'm like, but like these people are clearly so nice and like they care about their fans so much and work really hard to like engage with them and respond to like criticisms and stuff. And in return, their fans are so nasty and so brutal. One of the people on it is Matt Mercer's wife, and people openly talk about how annoying they think she is all the time. And it's just
and they treat them well, and they treat their fans well. And that's how it's reciprocated.
They are so way overboard.
Well, you know what? It's a champagne problem, because it's the popularity. Because the bigger your tent is, there's just like there's a small percentage of assholes who listen to this podcast, but there's just such a small number as the total principal that it ends up being 10 assholes. But that means Critical Role has 10,000 assholes or 100,000 assholes, and they can get vocal. So like they're giving back to the other 90. But it's like that community, you just see that as people get more popular, there are just the amount of hate. It's just like someone is like, keep the sides balanced. These guys, they have super fans. It's like, well, then they need super haters. It's it's like,
it's the same.
Nobody can have no opinion anymore. It's like, oh yeah, I mean, I like Vox Machina. I don't really watch Critical Role. Okay, yeah. Like that's
and it's the same with even like something like OnlyFans, which is obviously different, but like there was like a line you cross where you reach a certain level of popularity, which is almost bad, because all of a sudden so many people buy your stuff that it is just leaking all over the internet for free.
Right. And like you're actually, you get to a level of sought after that it starts to affect you negatively.
Whereas
it's not a one-to-one return ratio. You're like,
there's a
law of diminishing returns.
There's a comic, Sovereign Sire. And again, another person who I was like, I would have called her friend. I would have said we were friends for a little while. I did her podcast a couple of times. We'd see each other at shows. But I was like, but I also haven't seen her in. I feel bad referring to someone as my friend if I haven't seen or talked to them in a few years and they're more successful than they were the last time.
Right. You don't want to be accused of name dropping. Totally understand.
That was another thing, too, with this. I was like, I can't ask the guy to hang out because he's got a TV show now. And I don't want to seem like I'm like, hey, you want to hang out sometime? Unrelated. I could use some production work or something, you know? I just wish somebody had a TV show. They could throw me a bone.
But I think you would know about me because you have this in common with me, which is what I think something we're connecting on is a bullshit detector as well. You know, I wouldn't think you were, because I'd be able to sniff out someone who were. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yes. And also, I know we're... We already did the plug and we're wrapping up. Oh, you know what? My actual plug, years ago, I did This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. And the story I told, it's got a lot of views, but I just put out like a live recording of the story on Spotify like a month ago. And go and listen to that instead of watching it, because I actually think that performance was better. That was the one that got me the show. And I at least get like a tenth of a penny every time somebody listens to it or something.
Well, we'll have it be the link in the show notes of Will's name. Click on that. It'll open up the Spotify track.
Because Comedy Central, like, they don't even make comedy anymore. They're fine. They don't need any more views. They're not helping
like
out
I think they're
anybody
like a jet ski rental company now. Like, I think it's Comedy Central LLC is like where you can get discount jet skis in Jacksonville. I don't fucking know, man.
It's like guys.
And I am trying to close a deal with them.
Yeah. It's like guys with Quibi on their resume. And they're like, I wouldn't want to work at Comedy Central.
And I'm just like desperate for anything. Yeah.
But you pulled in the email chain when you were like, by the way, you were like, and here's my number. And I should have read your phone number out on the podcast and then checked.
And I would have forgotten to believe.
I would do that when, if I was talking to a girl on Tinder, it would reach a point where you would go, by the way, here's my number. If you just like, here's my number. And that was always kind of like the cue to be like, we will begin now the process of like setting up a first date.
Right.
So, like another like deeply uncomfortable parallel between the two things.
I know. Well, I was like, I should give him my number. In this instance, it was because I was running late and I didn't want to have any delay in case you needed to get the fuck off. But at the same time, it was also like, the meta of this whole thing is just hitting me at this moment where I'm like embarrassed that I'm running late, but I'm like, I got to make this happen. I owe it to it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel crazy. Well, before I get out of here, I'll just plug tonight. This episode airs on a Thursday, so I think it's we have an episode of 101 Places to Party Before. I was gonna say an episode of High and Mighty. I have an episode of 101 Places to Party Before You Die premiering tonight, 10:30 on True TV. The episode, I believe, we are in Puerto Rico. We are in San Juan for this episode. It's a very fun one. Please tweet about the show. Do whatever the fuck, like, you know what to do. You guys are fans of this kind of shit. Do whatever you got to do to get me out there again on the road. I don't want to do any other job ever again. If I'm being, you want me just naked honesty here? I don't want to do anything in this industry ever again except be paid to fly around and get fucked up with my buddy Adam Pally. Please. I hesitate calling him my best friend, and the premise of the show is that we're best friends. I just won't. He's one of my best friends. I refuse to do it to him because he's like, he's got more best friends than I do. Like, oh, and I don't even want to think about that.
And if you compare IMDb pages, he's got a bigger number in that bracket next to actor. So, you know, I get that.
I don't want to come across as a guy who's like, hey, I am literally riding his coattails while by being on a show with him. Like, yeah. I don't want to be considered like a guy who's like name dropping his more famous co-host, but Adam Pally is a big, you guys are big fans of him. Come on.
It's the same thing like with Jared Logan, like when we'll see each other, or it's like, I'm now glad because my wife and I are trying to get pregnant. And now I'm like, oh, it's good when I see him because I can talk to him about like being a dad. And it, and that's like, oh, like that doesn't make me seem like a weirdo. And I'm like, I'm thinking of myself as a weirdo for trying to be friends with a guy who has
that I'm friends with.
Let's get a coffee sometime. Yeah, yes. I had dinner at his house and we like hung out all night and talked. And I'm like, I don't want this guy to think I, you know,
feel any sort of connection towards him.
That's not gonna work. Sick. It's sick. Man. Yeah.
This has been a pleasure, Will.
Great time. Thanks for having me.
We will tweet how the coffee went. We will tweet a photo from coffee. And we'll each we'll tweet a photo from coffee from my High and Mighty account. And I'll quote tweet it with how it went. And you quote tweet it with
all right.
How it went.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. 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 This is a nightmare.
I bring Settlers of Catan to like be like
I'm gonna be like, oh great, this guy hasn't looked at Board Game Geek in 15 years. Settlers of Catan,
this guy's a fucking
okay,
poser.
Wow, don't dig too deep, dude. Yeah, well yeah, let's get together and play Gloomhaven. Cool. Real deep.
Bye, shitheads. I am mighty. Hey, now that the episode is over, time to get a little serious. While Americans overwhelmingly support the right of an individual to make their own decisions about abortion, unfortunately, that right is no longer protected everywhere in the U.S. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade on June 24th. Whack! Abortion is a basic healthcare need for millions of people who can become pregnant. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Even if you live in a state where abortion rights are upheld, access to safe medical procedures shouldn't be determined by location, and it shouldn't be the privilege of a small few. So you can help by donating to local abortion funds. To find out where to donate for each state, visit donationsforabortion.com. That's the number 4. If you or someone you know needs help, or if you want to get more involved, here are 5 resources. 1. Shout Your Abortion is a campaign to normalize abortion. 2. Don't Ban Equality is a campaign for companies to take a stand against abortion restrictions. 3. Abortion.cafe has information about where to find clinics. 4. PlanCpills.org provide an early at-home abortion pills that you can keep in your medicine cabinet. And 5. Choice.crd.co has a collection of these resources and more. I encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. I think what this all fundamentally comes down to is let's just mind our own fucking business, okay? If somebody wants to do something to their body, let them. That's it. It's their body. We don't get to choose that for them. That's called freedom, remember? Okay. This has been John Gabris, host of High and Mighty, saying thanks for listening to the episode. And come on, speak up, take care, and spread the word. Love you, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.